wise women once said, or rather.
Genesis 2, starting at verse 21. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. Now the snake was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the snake, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will not certainly die," the snake said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves.
Amen, and thanks be to God for the reading from his holy word. I am a massive Harry Potter fan. I think I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. So this year it has been an absolute delight as I have relived them through reading them and watching the films with Rory. And as we've read them, I've been reminded that contained within the pages, there are so many wee sayings and phrases that are so relevant to our lives. Early in the first novel, Harry is sorted into Gryffindor, a house associated with courage and bravery. But in the second novel, there comes a time when Harry questions whether that is the right house for him to have been associated with. Perhaps he would have been better in Slytherin, the house that's associated with dark wizards. And it's as Harry is pondering this question that the headmaster, Albus Dumbledore, says, "It's our choices who show who we are, far more than our abilities." That certainly seems to be the case when we think of Eve. We think of a choice that she made. But the song that we just listened to says, "God values and encouraged them through whom the world was blessed." I know that I certainly reflect on Eve's story and think of the cursing rather than the blessing that she was created to be. When I saw today's passage on the preaching rota, I will admit that I did panic. I wasn't really sure what I was going to say about the depths of marital relationships, and I didn't really want to tackle the problem of human suffering and the origin of sin, quite deep subjects. But over the last week, I have pondered how we have come to associate Eve with that one choice that she made, and how that choice has come to define her. If we look just back a couple of verses, we see the purpose for which Eve was created. God looked at man and saw that it was no good for him to live alone. Firstly, then, he created an array of animals and birds to be a suitable companion, but none were found. And so God made Eve. While Eve's choice was important, it isn't the sum of who she is. And our choices aren't the sum of who any of us are. Genesis shows us that before that moment, Eve was created in God's image as a helper, a partner, and a companion. And that identity endures beyond any single choice. This shifts how we view Eve, not simply as the one who made a mistake, but as one created in God's image with purpose. I'm sure many of us would be horrified if we felt we were defined by the mistakes and the things that we get wrong. And so today is a rare occasion when I'm going to disagree with Albus Dumbledore. Yes, our choices do define us. They shape who we are, who we become, and how others see us. But Genesis reminds us that before our choices, before sin and before failure, each of us was created in the image of God. Often, as we reflect on this reading, we see that Eve has been created as a subordinate, someone to help Adam. Adam as the man in charge, and Eve as the person that can be directed. We hear that she was created as a helper and assume that it was a secondary role. Adam was created first. He's in charge, and the woman has been created simply to do his bidding. And traditionally, that might have been a standard reading. Men, heads of households, and main breadwinners. But for many today, family life looks completely different, and these traditional values no longer capture the whole picture. Most or many women return to work after maternity leave. Men can have their share of paternity leave, and many women hold leadership roles. And when we read the text more closely, it gives us a much bigger and much richer picture of the mutual partnership and shared companionship, what it truly means to walk side by side as helpers. As I was wrestling with the passage this week, I've read it in many different translations. When you announce your training to become a minister, suddenly people give you a lot of Bibles. I have many on my desk in many different translations. But it's such a gift because each of them offers us something different about a passage. And this week, it's given me different ideas of the role that Eve was created for. Firstly, the Revised Standard Version reads, "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper as his partner.'" When we think about partners, often we might think of business partners. However, I know very little about the world of business, and all that I know about partners comes from my work in school, either having a stage partner to work alongside, but actually, more often than not, the partners that I wanted children to work with. At the beginning of every term, and every so often in between, I would create a carefully considered seating plan. Who got on with who definitely didn't get on with who would work the best together. Why was this so important? Well, partly it definitely made my life easier. There were less niggles when I had considered carefully who they could work with, but also because quite frequently I would ask the children to work with a partner. Sometimes that might just be sharing their ideas, other times sharing the responsibility for a task. And I hoped that in my carefully created seating plans, they'd have someone suitable that they could work with. And the expectation was, I will not claim that this works every single time, that when they proudly brought me their work, I'd be able to see that they'd both had a say and a part in the finished product. I'd hope that they could both explain their learning to me and they'd both be happy with their contribution. That's the kind of gift that God was giving us as he created women. A partner, two people engaged together in the same activity, mutually invested, mutually involved, and mutually responsible. What a gift. The second version that I turned to was the Message, which describes man's need for a helper or a companion. While a partner is someone that is equally invested in a project, a companion is something quite different. Someone that we spend a lot of time with, often because we are travelling with them. In creating women, God created someone for Adam to journey with. One of my pet peeves is reality television programmes where you get the wee person speaking about the journey that they've been on Bake Off or Sewing Bee or X Factor or Britain's Got Talent. And I think it's because it's thrown up so frequently. It was used all the time for a while. But the word companion for a journey suits really well here. Someone that we are called to journey with through all of life. Because sometimes we will be on mountaintops, experiencing the highest of highs. But just as many journeys face challenges of bad weather, diversions, delays, or traffic jams, life isn't always plain sailing. In creating Eve, God highlights the importance of journeying alongside people through all the highs and lows of life, but also through all the in-betweens. One of my favourite things about being part of a church family is the extensive number of people that share in my joys and my sorrows. They are some of the first people I call when I have exciting news, but they're also some of the first people I phone in the very worst of times. It's such a blessing to know that there are so many people that are interested and care. But more than that, I know that it is an incredible privilege to be able to journey with others in their times of great joy and their times of deep grief, anxiety, and pain. Yes, as we sang earlier, we can always go to Jesus in these times. Jesus said, "I am with you always." In him, we find the perfect companion, one who journeys with us in joy, sorrow, and even through death into new life. But we were also created to have those companions who physically journey alongside us, who show us who Jesus is, especially when we can't see him for ourselves. While I've already pointed out the differences between some of the translations, every single translation I read this week describes Eve as a helper. I wonder what you think of when you hear the word helper. Perhaps you think of someone who's working alongside, but isn't really carrying out the full responsibilities of the job at hand. Or maybe you think of someone less experienced who's learning the ropes and who one day will take on the role. Now, please excuse my Hebrew. I have not taken that as a module this year, but the Hebrew word used for helper here is ezer. And while this does mean help or helper, there is no suggestion of inferiority or subordination. In fact, when it's used in the Old Testament, it is used to describe God as Israel's helper. In the Psalms, the same word is used to describe God as our help and our shield, and later declares that our help comes from the Lord. And the full phrase translates as ezer kenegdo, meaning a helper corresponding to him, both equal and opposite in role and purpose, each bringing gifts that the other doesn't have. It recognises that while Adam and Eve are different, their differences aren't a point of conflict. They are carefully planned to bring different strengths that together fulfil God's plan. It signifies a deep partnership which is beneficial to both parties. And so, in describing Eve as the helper, it implies strength, support, and coming alongside in times of need. When we look at this in the wider context of the verse, the word suitable means that in creating Eve, God has created someone who complements Adam, a partner who has abilities that Adam doesn't have, not a subordinate assistant, but someone indispensable, a strong ally created in God's image to fulfill God's creation plan. And in using the same word to describe Eve as is later used to describe God, we're reminded that just like Adam, Eve was created in God's own image. It switches our mindset from one where we see Eve's identity wrapped up in the curse that comes after the fall, to the one who was valued, encouraged, and through whom all the world was blessed. What does this mean for us today? I started by saying that I disagreed with Dumbledore, and in many ways I do. First and foremost, Eve reminds us that regardless of what we do, go on to do, each of us here today was created in the image of God, created with divine planning and purpose, created to journey alongside one another, and created completely unique and completely indispensable. When God looks at us, he sees someone that he created, someone that he knows, and someone that he loves. He doesn't ignore the poor choices that we make, but looks beyond them to see his precious and much loved child, because that is where our value and our worth are found. And while it can be a challenge to see ourselves that way, I think the bigger challenge is in how we see others. Because if God looks at each of us with a deep love, then that is true for every single person, in every single city and town, across the country and throughout the world. Part of being a Christian is about looking at others and seeing them as God does, worthy of love, deserving of our compassion, and valued by God. That means that we, like Eve, are created to help those that we journey with and worship with on a Sunday morning, but also with the outcast and the stranger, those who walk closely with God, and those whose choices have left them walking a lonely road. It's a challenge, but also part of who we are created to be. Because as we seek to help, not just our brothers and sisters in Christ, but those who are yet to come to know Jesus, we are stepping into the image in which we were created. We reflect Christ's love and life into situations of darkness and despair. However, while our choices don't define our ultimate worth, they do shape us. In fact, the most important thing we can ever do is make a choice. A choice to commit to following Jesus every day of our lives. It isn't something we'll get right on our first attempt, and after many years of seeking to follow and serve, we'll still find ways that we fall short each and every day. It's a challenge, but one that gives us hope. The good news is that because of Jesus, God not only looks beyond those poor choices, but in Jesus he redeems them, restoring us to walk with him again. Because just like Eve, each of us makes choices, consciously and unconsciously, that fall short of God's plan for us at creation. Day by day, we think, act, and speak in ways that don't reflect God's love for all that he created. And despite our best efforts, there is nothing we can do to rectify that. But we can know true redemption because of Jesus, the perfect Son of God, who hung on a cross and took a punishment that he didn't deserve so that we don't have to. We can know life in all its fullness, life restored and life redeemed, because of the choice that God made in sending his Son to earth for us. So may we see ourselves and may we see others as God does, not defined by our choices, but as beloved children, created in his image, called to walk side by side. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you that you created us in your image, each one unique, but each reflecting something of your goodness into the world around us. Lord, we're sorry for the times when our choices don't reflect that goodness. But help us each to make the choice, each and every day, to turn to you, seeking to become more like you in our thoughts and our actions. Lord, thank you for those who journey alongside us in times of great joy and times of great sorrow. Help us to seek help from others when we need it, but more importantly, help us to seek your help and your wisdom in the situations that we face. We're sorry for the times when we don't see others as you see them, judging them by their choices rather than who they were created to be. Help us to look beyond that, seeing everyone that we come into contact with as people who are beloved children of God. In your name we pray. Amen. We're now going to join together.